glad that you are here on this last weekend of the first month of the year. And we're wrapping up our Fresh Start series. And we're going to talk to you today about the importance as we begin this year of beginning anything really with the end in mind. I don't know if you've ever read, and I encourage you to do it if you haven't, the seven habits of highly effective people. The second principle is that you've got to not just wander through life, but you've got to understand life is a journey, and you're taking steps today, and every day you're taking steps, and the steps you take today are pointing you in a direction. If you don't like what's happening in your life, with the help of God, you can literally change lanes. You can literally change direction. And any project, any season of your life will come to an end. Whatever you're going through will come to an end. When you tied your shoes this morning, that season is over. Now, that was a little season. It was the shoe tying season, and some of you just slipped your shoes on. That season is over as well. If you bake a cake, there comes an end of that. If you have a job, that season will come to an end. Here's the big one. Eventually, the life you are living comes to an end. And Jesus says, I want you to be prepared for the shift in your life. Because when God has one season ending, he's always starting a new season. He puts that into our daily routine. One day ends, another one starts. In fact, sometimes when we're here for an evening service, someone will say to me, hey, good morning. And then they're embarrassed. Oh no, it's morning somewhere right now. Because as one day ends, another begins. As one year ends, a month ago, that was not that, it just seems like January has just flown by. But a month ago, we were preparing to say goodbye to one year and hello to another year. In a few days, we will say goodbye to this month and hello to another month. One season ends and the other begins. And I want you to live your seasons well, to think about where you're going, and to make sure you're on track for a fully blessed, abundant, prosperous, gloriously blessed life. Oh, if you said amen, that's going to happen. Amen. That's just get aiming in the right way. Matthew 25, which is where we're going to be teaching from, Jesus tells literally three stories that emphasize seasons come to an end. The first story he tells in Matthew 25 is about 10 virgins who are waiting for a bridegroom. And they're waiting, and they're waiting, and they're waiting, and they're waiting, and they're waiting. And then the season of waiting ends. And here's the point Jesus makes. Some people were ready for a good ending, and some were not. Five of them entered in with the bridegroom. Five of them had not brought enough provision, not enough fresh oil, and they didn't have a good ending. Then he tells the story at the end about all creation, all humanity, gathering before the Lord. Those who are on the right-hand side have been planning and preparing for this day, and they enter into the joy of the Lord. The people on the left-hand side, I'm so sorry for you guys today. It's in the Bible. They didn't prepare wisely. And what Jesus is saying, hey, begin today to plan for a good ending. The middle story that we're going to look at is the same story. It's the story where the master of the house gives to his servants talents. And he said, I'm going to go away, but I'm not going to stay away forever. I'm going to come back, and there's going to be an ending of this season and the beginning of another season. In fact, verse 19 of Matthew 25, it says, after a long time, some seasons are longer than others, aren't they? The shoe tying season is relatively short. The football season will be coming to an end. I don't know who's going to win, but I'm praying. I'm not even going to get into that right now. It's coming to an end. That's a long season. Child rearing is a long season of life. Grandchildren, I'm in the grandchildren season now. Woo, hallelujah for that season. But this season came to an end. The master came after a long time, and he came to the servants and said, okay, it's the end. We've come to the end, and we're going to now ask for an accounting. Now, two-thirds of the servants were well-prepared. They planned for a good ending, and one of the servants did not plan wisely. I just want you to be on the right side of this. Literally on the right side of this. Matthew 25, right side of this. I want you to be on the right side of today planning for a good ending. So to those that plan for a good ending, I love these words. In fact, I live to hear them myself personally. To those that planned wisely, that began with the end in view, that this season would come to an end, the Lord looks at them and says these words, well done. I want to hear him say that about to me someday. Well done. But you don't do well by accident. You don't wander through life, end up doing well. No, it's purposeful. And here's how it's purposeful. He said, you've done well because you've been good. Can you see that? You've been good. You did good things. You've been faithful. Can you see that? You have served. And now you get to have a happy ending. You get to enter into the joy of the Lord. So I'm just going to look at this phrase. As we begin this year, I hope that when you get to the end of this year, you'll have a glorious ending. I like happy endings, don't you? I like when the story ends with a happy ending. And then I really, really, really would like this to be your story, and you lived happily ever after. Happily, like, oh, we're talking about long-term success here, that when this season ends, you'll be well prepared. And that starts today. That starts by making sure that your footsteps and the direction of your life are aimed at these very things that the master notes. He says, hey, you've done well because you have chosen to do good things. So today, tomorrow, this week, choose to do good because that gets the Lord's attention. Do good. Every day you have opportunity to do good. You've had opportunity already this morning. I don't know if you've made use of those opportunities, but you've had opportunity to do good. And the Bible says that we should make the most of every opportunity, and we should be scouting the horizon to be kind and to share the goodness of God. Look what the Bible says. Therefore, as we have opportunity, and you'll have opportunity every day, let us do good to about half of the people that we meet. No. Okay, let me try this one. Let us do good to the people we like. Come on, somebody, come on. Yeah, that's a purposeful word. Let us do good to everybody, all people. Then, especially to those who belong to the family of God, the family of faith, especially the people you go to church with. That's what he's saying. So that means when you're here, you should be on high alert. Because you're with people you go to. Did you know you're with people you go to church with? Did you know you're not here alone? You're here with church people. And he says, okay, be good to everybody, all people. Even your enemies. But when you get to church, be on high alert to choose to do good. I read an interesting story this week of a construction worker in New York City named Wesley Altry. He was coming home from work on the subway platform in New York City. How many people have ever ridden the New York subway system? How many of you? You see, you've been in those tunnels and the trains are whipping by. And while he was there, a man on the platform had an epileptic seizure. And the seizure threw the man onto the subway tracks. So Wesley jumped down onto the tracks to save the man. And then became aware a train was coming, just right there. You could hear, you know that rumble that comes? It's coming down. And he had a choice to make. And he chose not to jump off the tracks and leave the man there. He actually laid on hide and pushed the man down into the ground. The conductor came around the corner, saw two guys on the tracks, threw the brakes on, but by the time the train stopped, five cars had run over them. Miraculously, neither one of them was hurt because he'd pushed them down so far that the cars passed over them. Now, they interviewed Wesley after and said, "Why? Why did you do that? Did you know this person?" "No, he was a stranger to me." "Why did you risk your life to do good to someone who was a stranger?" He said, "I saw that he needed help, and I felt it was the right thing to do." Where did that feeling come from? That's the prompting. See, social scientists, especially evolutionary scientists, say we are about survival of the fittest. We are about taking care of ourselves. But there's something inside of you that comes from God, that inner prompting of the Holy Spirit that says, do good, be kind. I would like you to sharpen that to a fine, fine operational edge so that you are walking through this life doing good. This is called by some old-time preachers the good book. And it does teach us how to do good. Then we have that inner voice of the Holy Spirit to do good. Don't you want to have a good ending? How many like a book that has a good ending? I'd like that. How many like a movie that has a good ending? I hate when it just falls apart in the last 5 minutes. All the good guys die. What's that about? I want my money back about then. I've read this book. I'm going to tell you, the good guys win. Amen. I love this book. And I'm walking this pathway. So I want to choose to do good today so that I hear well done in the future. I want to do good today so I hear well done in the future. So just be sensitive to that inner voice of the Holy Spirit that says, do good. The second thing he says, well done, you good and, what's the next thing he says? Well done, you good and faithful. So that's a key as well. If you want to hear well done, if you want to receive that reward at the end, you've got to choose goodness and you've got to choose faithfulness. Well, faithfulness is the matter of being full of faith. It's trusting God so much that it changes your lifestyle. Let me say that again. It's not just about trusting God. You know we have a state motto called In God We Trust? You know that's our state motto. I like that, but I wish we lived by it. Because it's easy to say. It's easy to print on our money. Faithfulness is when you trust God so much that it changes the way you live your life. Even when you can't see clearly, even when the future looks foggy, you still keep walking by faith. It's a journey. And you choose today, I'm going to take a faith step. I'm going to take a faith step. The Bible says that we choose to walk by faith and not by sight. That there's parts of our lives that we don't fully understand. And in those moments, we know that God is working in the background. And we faithfully say, I'm going to trust you, God. I'm going to lean into you. I'm going to put my trust in you. It's why we read the Bible all the time, and we're at the beginning of the year. And each part of this message, I've said, hey, we're starting a new year. Great time to read through the Bible in a year, or 2 years, or 3 years, or 4 years. Just be reading it. Read it regular. Just get reading the Bible, because when we read the Bible, it grows our faith. And if you want to be faithful, don't you want to be faithful? How many want to be faith quarter? Faith half. Faith halfway. Faith three quarters. No, I want to be faithful. So I want to read these stories. And you know what happens when I read these stories? I find that every promise God makes, he keeps. Everyone. And because he did it for these dudes and dudettes, he'll do it for me. When God's people were asked to leave slavery and come to the promised land, and they followed Moses, and they ended up at a dead end, Red Sea in front of them, mountains to the sides, mountains to the other side, the Pharaoh's army coming up their backside. When there looked to be no way, God made a way. So So when you read the book, you go, hey, maybe in your life today you've come and you feel, hey, I feel like I'm at a dead end. I don't see how it's going to work out. I promise you, as you keep walking by faith, God will make a way where there seems to be no way. That's faithful walking, and it pleases God. Like that little woman that everyone had given up on, her health issues were so beyond what the medical doctors could do, and everyone had given up on her, but she heard Jesus was in town, and she pressed through the crowd, and she reached out by faith just to touch the edge of Jesus' clothing, and as she made a faith connection, wholeness healed her body. Her faith made her whole. If you're here today, I promise you, he is still the God who heals. And if everybody else has given up on you, you should be praying for healing in this season, even if you're not sick, because there's so much flu out there. We need divine protection and possibly fist bumps. Just saying. God keeps his promise. When Jesus died on the cross, God had promised he was going to raise him from the dead. He promised that Jesus would hang on the cross. He would absorb all of our sin, all of our shame, and pay for it all. Then he would go into the tomb, and 3 days later, he would rise from the dead. And if God can keep that big of a promise, God is going to keep his promises to you. That's why we read. That's why we this book makes us faithful. And he loves when we just say, God, I'm going to trust you. Remember little kids? Somebody had little kids? Remember when little kids and they throw their arms up and they just... Didn't it make your heart? I got grandkids now, they throw their arms up. Just makes my heart sing. And the Bible tells us in Hebrews that it's faith that pleases God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. But when you throw your arms up and say, Lord, I want to live a faithful life that trusts you for salvation, that trusts you to guide me, that trusts you, God, even when I can't see where I'm going, yeah, I trust you. That's the kind of person that ends well. Goodness, faithfulness. Well done, you good and faithful. That's it. I want you to say it. If you know it. Well done, you good and faithful. The key word is well. You want to end well? End this year well? Learn this key. In fact, goodness and faithfulness are adjectives to this subject in this scripture. The subject of this person is that they were a servant. They chose to serve not their own interests. The master gave them talents. They were the talents that came from the master, and they served the master's interest, and that's what service is about. They ministered. Sometimes when people ask me, what do you do? I have to be very careful. I was just on a plane this week. And if you want to end a conversation on a plane, tell them. If you have work to do or something, just tell them you are a Jesus-loving pastor. But if I want to engage the conversation, I just change a little bit. I'm an ambassador for a kingdom. That's a whole other conversation. That's not, you know what an ambassador does? When an ambassador goes to another nation, they don't do their own thing. They do the will of the kingdom or the government or the republic they represent. And that's not just me. That's all of us in this room. I always remind you guys, all of us in this room are ministers. Whatever you are doing in your life, it is a ministry. If you are teaching, it's a ministry. If you're adding up numbers, it's a ministry. If you're bagging groceries, it's a ministry. If you're digging ditches, it's a ministry. And whatever you do, you don't do it for your boss. You know that you represent a kingdom. If you want to end well, get this concept. You are an ordained minister, and your gifts, talents, and abilities are on loan from God. How you use them is very important. In fact, the scripture tells us that our ministry is our work. Whatever we do, whatever you're working at, Colossians 2, all the work you're doing, that includes all the work you're doing, Do it to your best of your abilities. That means, please, 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 brothers and sisters, if you've got a job, show up on time. The best is not being late. And then he says, work as if you're doing it for the Lord, whatever it is. It's a service. And you want to end well? Get this concept. You are an ambassador of a kingdom. Do the work you're doing as to the Lord, not to people, not to your boss, but to the Lord. Remember that you will receive your reward from the Lord, which he promised his people, because when you go out into the world, you're not serving people, you are serving the Lord. So just every day, look for opportunities to serve. That's how you get that well done. That well done. And remember at the beginning we said, do good to everyone, especially to those who are in the family of God. Remember that one? Now, why is that true? Because Jesus says the people that are in the family of God, he calls us his body. He calls us his bride. And if you want to make me smile, well, you can bless me, but if you really want to make me smile, do something kind for Darla. She's my bride. My heart's going to swell. So that's how God is. When you serve everybody. But when you serve the church, when you serve his family, when you serve his bride, he smiles. And he looks at these, he says, you're good. You made good choices. You chose to do good. You've been faithful. You've walked your life by faith. You've chosen to view your life as a service for the Lord. And then I'm going to say, well done. I live someday to stand in front of Jesus. I'm going to look into his eyes, and I live to hear him say, well done. And you're going to be there. And I want to, when Jesus looks into your eyes, I want to hear him say about you, over you, well done. You lived your life today with the end in mind. Well done. You were good. You were faithful. You served. And then this. You want to have a happy? I love a happy ending. I love a happy ending. You want a happy ending? How many want a happy ending? A happy ending is much better than an unhappy ending. And that was such a brilliant, that's such a deep thought right there. Just so, so deep today. Here's what he says. He says, I love these words. Well done, you good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy. Oh, I just love that phrase. Enter into the joy of the master's house. Enter into the joy of a life filled with God. Joy comes into our lives not just the moment we enter God's kingdom, and we're getting there. Joy enters our life every moment we allow Jesus to enter our lives. Joy does not come from the outside, outside circumstances, outside work. When I was talking about work being a ministry a moment ago, some of you were going, you don't know my work, because you're looking on the outside. The scriptures teaches us, God's word teaches us that joy is an inner issue. It's when your heart is filled with Jesus, you are filled with joy. And I encourage you, don't wait to get to heaven to enjoy life. Begin with the end in view. If heaven is going to be such a joyous place, why don't we live that way now? I mean, I really honestly believe that the most joyous people on the planet should be the followers of Jesus. Here's what the scripture says. Here's a good one. You don't see Jesus, but he's here. He's here, and I promise you, you don't see him right now, I don't see him, but I promise you, Jesus is in the house right now. Jesus is in this room. You don't see him, but you love him. Oh, Jesus, I love you. I can't see you, but I love you, Jesus. Jesus, I know that you are here. You don't see him now, but you believe in him. I'm walking by, I don't see Jesus, but I'm walking by faith. And when you believe in Jesus, when you receive Jesus, you rejoice with joy. That's like joy multiplied. To rejoice with joy is like joy times joy. You rejoice with joy. And then he adds on this, which is inexpressible. It's so much joy, you can't explain it. That's how I want to live. Not just when I get to heaven in the sky by and by when I die. Here. I want to live in that place that is inexpressible, joy filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. I want to live full of joy. I'm a minister, so I've been with people in the final moments of their life. And I'm going to tell you there's a difference, brothers and sisters. When someone has walked a life of faithfulness to God, trusting God, and when someone gets to the end and they haven't, it's a totally different ball game. My prayer is for you that you will walk each day in goodness, in faithfulness, in service, so you will have an abundant, joyous entrance. And don't wait. Don't wait till the last few moments of your life to experience joy. Live now with that inner presence of Jesus who gives you joy. I get up in my morning devotions, I go, I am entering into the joy. I came into church and I knew I'd be saying this. When I literally entered the building, I said, I am entering into the joy. Did you do that? Some of you look like you could do with some of that. We were this week, we were in Mexico with a missions team, helping to fund missions around the world. And we were at a place where there were people that were like working at the complex resort, hotel. And we were there for a few days. And then I came into the room and the staff said, oh, there's that really happy guy. That's awesome. That's what I want. And some people get Darla. They get her away from me. And they ask her, is he really like that all the time? I don't bat 1,000, but I will tell you, this is the general trajectory of my life. You can ask Darla. She lives with me. The general is to enter into joy. I want to enter into joy, not just the end of my life. I want to begin with the end in view. If the end is good, I want to live good. If the end is faith, I want to live faith. Faith is the way. If the end is service, I want to serve. I met a man when I was in this missions trip who is a pastor in Sri Lanka. Deshaun is his name. And I had such an interesting conversation with him. Deshaun's dad is named Colton. And in Sri Lanka, Colton, when he was a young man, battled severe depression. So much so that Colton felt like he would take his life. He was suicidal. And Deshaun said his father was studying in a place for ministry. He loved God, but people that love God still have dark days. While I'm talking about entering into joy, and he was not in that stage. Colton's dad, this would be Deshaun's great-grandfather, passed away. And now there was no money, no funding for Colton to continue in his studies for ministry. So he made an appointment with the principal of the school to say, I have to withdraw because I cannot pay my bill. And he made the appointment, and he went in to see the principal, and in Sri Lankan culture, you stand and to respect the person you're with, especially if they're a principal. And the principal said, no, I'd like you to sit with me, please. He said, I have a letter here I want to read to you. And he read this letter that went something like this. I am a widow in Florida, from our state here. I'm a widow in Florida. I don't have a lot of resources. I don't have a lot of money. As I was praying today, God led me to pray for your school. I've never been there. I just know it exists. And I feel that you have a student that has run out of money, that needs help. And I want to enclose as much money as I possibly can. you know who this student is. I don't even know who they are, but you know, and they're going to leave the school, but I don't want them to leave. You know they need to stay. I'm sending this money so that they will be able to stay in school. And the principal reads his letter at the moment that Colton comes in to say, I've got to withdraw. He starts crying. That was a turning point in Colton's life. From a widow half a world away, who when she gets to heaven, these are the kind of people I'm talking about, Jesus is going to say, you did good. That letter you wrote. Well, first of all, Deshaun was very happy because if his dad had committed suicide, he wouldn't have been here. And Deshaun is a pastor now. He has 750 churches that he is like working with right now. And he's planning to double that. His dad became a minister, got over that depression, found that joy that comes from Jesus, and became a minister that literally thousands and thousands of people. He's a real guy because last evening when I was sharing this message, we have a lady that's come for about a month from Sri Lanka. I didn't know she was from Sri Lanka. But at the end of the service, she came up and said, Pastor, when I was in Sri Lanka, Pastor Colton was my pastor. Wow. I'm reading his book now. It's amazing. He saw people come back from the dead. The enemy comes to kill and steal and destroy. We're here to bring life, the life of Christ. This dear widow woman, I don't know who she is, but I know Jesus is going to say, well done. Why? Because she chose, watch this, to do something good. She certainly operated by faith. To hear an inner voice in Florida and give money away, I know when it comes to giving money away, you can resist that voice, really. Oh, I'll let that pass. I just let that one pass. No, she gave money. And she didn't have a lot to give. And then put it in the mail and send it to Sri Lanka to people you don't know. By faith. She just did it by faith is the way. She did it by faith. And she was serving someone she didn't even know. Well done, you good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy. That's what I want for all of our lives. I want us to get that well done. Enter it into the joy. But that begins not in the last few moments. That begins now by choosing to do good, to do faith, to do service, and enter into the joy that the Lord has for us. So we're going to pray together. I'd like us all, if we could, stand together for prayer. Our prayer team is going to come to the altar. Everyone else is just closing your eyes, please, and opening your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, who I promise is in this room, and I know what he's doing. He is knocking at your heart's door right now. Jesus is knocking at your life. And he says, let me in. Maybe you've been lacking joy. Jesus, I want to come in. I will give you joy unspeakable and full of glory. That's what I'll do. And so I want to lead in a prayer and just invite everyone, please, to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Some for the first time. Some for the first time in a long time. Some just to say, Jesus, you know you are most welcome in my heart. Here's our prayer. Pray it out loud with the people around you, please. As we pray in Jesus' name and say, Dear Heavenly Father, I open my heart to Jesus. I open my life to Jesus. I repent of my sins. I leave them behind. And I receive your love, your grace, your mercy, your forgiveness. Thank you for never giving up on me. Now help me to follow Jesus every day of my life. Help me to do good. Help me to walk by faith. Help me to serve you and fulfill my ministry on the earth. I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. That's a good prayer, guys. Amen. Amen. That's good. That's a good prayer to pray. So now, if you prayed that prayer for the first time or for the first time in a long time, it's so essential that you tell one of our prayer team before you go, say, I prayed that prayer to begin something. They'll help you. But the prayer team is also here to pray for whatever need you have in your home, your family, in your business, whatever need you have, Jesus is able to meet your need. Jesus is able to bring a miracle into your life. And we're here to pray for you in Jesus' name. Everyone is welcome for prayer. You don't have to be a member of this church to receive prayer, nor do you need to be a member of this church to receive communion. And if you'd like to receive communion, there is the bread and the cup of the Lord on both sides. All we do is when you come to receive that, just be remembering Jesus. That's what he said, remember me. So let your thoughts be towards Jesus. Remember this. Remember Jesus died on the cross for you. Remember that he went into the tomb and he rose on the third day, and he is very present with you in the moment of communion. And rejoice in his presence. Maybe as the communion goes into you today, just say, Lord, hit me with that holy joy. I need some of that today. If you've been a guest here today, thanks so much for coming. Please come again. We love you. We know God has an incredible plan for your life, and we want to see you walk into that. If you are a guest and have never stopped by our VIP room, please do that before you go. We'd love to meet you. It's over here on the left-hand side, and we just want to bless you. And I want to pray God's blessing. I'm going to pray God's blessing over you this week. And after that, the worship team, it's going to lead us in worship. If you want to worship with them, want to receive prayer, please do that. Want to worship the Lord, do that. Want to receive communion, do that. Go with the grace of God, do that. But as I pray this prayer, I'm going to open my hands towards heaven, where we're going someday, to hear that well done. But I want to live today well. And so if you want to just receive this blessing, you can close your eyes and open your hands towards heaven. Lord, here are your sons and your daughters. They're reaching out to you. I pray the Holy Spirit to come upon you right now. From the top of your head to the soles of your feet, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, who makes Jesus so real, who makes the life of the kingdom so real. May this brother, this sister, walk in goodness, walk in grace, walk in faithfulness, walk in service. And Lord, may someday we see your eyes upon them saying, well done. I bless you in Jesus' name. And in Jesus' name, you are very, very blessed. And everybody says, amen. Grace and peace, everybody. Come for prayer. Come for communion and worship team. Please lead us.